Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, could your IRS bill keep you from traveling? We have the answer.
Should a company be required to pay 200 million frequent flyer miles on a promotion taken advantage of by mileage gurus? We have the story.
We'll go to the mailbag and answer your questions, from cancellation fees to those special clubs at the airports.
Special update from road reporter Steve LaRosa with an accent on railroad history.
And finally, an important announcement regarding this radio show. That's today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man,
king of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. Right across the way, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, and also in the studio today from Sports Leisure Vacations as well, our buddy Clayton Whitehead. Welcome, guys.
Welcome to you.
Thanks, Tom. Great
How
to be here.
How are you, Clayton?
Clayton is fine.
Gosh, now.
Easy for you to say.
That's all right. That's it. We're just here to give you a bad time. Besides, we have you outnumbered 2-1. So
there you go. Here you go. Full studio today and lots of stuff to cover. Got some great questions for the mailbag coming up in a while. Great interview about a local railroad project that you know a lot about, but we're going to give you some inside stuff perhaps that you've never heard of before.
You were talking to Steve LaRosa. That was a really fascinating interview.
Oh,
I was listening
was
to that before he went on the air, so you want to catch that. That comes up at 2:50.
I have your copy of the video for you to take home, too. I think you're going to enjoy that.
Okay, I will.
Well, of course, we always begin the Travel Guys radio program with what's going on in the travel news, and I see Mark has a fistful. Looks like a lot of stuff going on. So without any further ado, Brandon, fire up the Mark Hoffman, Clayton Whitehead, Tom Romano trio. You're on bass, Clayton.
Got it.
There's no way we can really play these instruments.
There you go. Now let's launch into the news. Mark, what do you have?
All right, let's see here. Top of the news. Do you owe the IRS? It could cost you your passport. A law buried in a proposed bill could prevent U.S. travelers who owe taxes from leaving the country. Now, before you panic about that $35 tax bill you might owe, in March, the Senate passed Bill 1813, which was introduced by our very own Barbara Boxer. The bill is more than 1,000 pages long, and it basically deals with federal transportation. But planted in the bill, it was an amendment that would permit the State Department to take away a person's passport if he or she owes significant back taxes to the IRS. The bill is currently pending in the House of Representatives, and unless it passes in the lame duck session, it will have to start over next year. But here's what it says. If any individual has a seriously delinquent tax debt in the amount in excess of $50,000, the secretary shall transmit such certification to the Secretary of State, blah, blah, blah. In other words, if you owe the IRS more than 50 grand, you may not be going anywhere.
Now, if we called my friend Steve Moskowitz, the tax attorney, I'm sure that Steve could make that go away.
Can I just point out something?
Yes, Mark.
I would love to be in the position to owe the IRS $50,000, because that would mean that I had made at least enough money to owe them $50,000. I'd love to have that conversation with them.
Well, I don't think it's just a matter of owing it. I think it has to do with those that owe it and then choose not to pay
Not to pay it. Speaking of people who choose not to pay things, Tom, this story actually came up at those secret Chicago seminars a few weeks ago. Who stole my 200 million frequent flyer miles?
Yeah.
It turns out that a bunch of frequent flyers figured out that a program put together by one of those online shopping malls that allowed you to be able to get frequent flyer points for purchases, and this is kind of similar to the story of the pudding cup guy and people who have collected different miles. They go out and they do this over and over and over and hundreds and thousands of times, making tiny little purchases because they figured out that the value of the miles exceeds the value of what they're buying. Basically, you could get about 1 million miles for roughly $1,000. This group of people accumulated 200 million miles. And now the airlines are saying, well, that really wasn't in the spirit of the promotion, and no, you're not going to get them. And so the the mileage gurus have sued them. The group includes Randy Peterson, who is the publisher of Inside Flyer magazine. Randy, for the benefit of our listeners, is probably the all-time mileage guru in history. Mm-hmm. So if he is after you, that is not a very bad good sign, because it means that he probably feels he has a pretty strong case. So I guess what part of this comes down to, and I wanted to ask you and Clayton this, Tom, as part of our news segment here today, is this really legitimate? I mean, there's two questions here, and we talked about this before. Is this, you know, there's a moral answer and there's a real answer. I mean, if these guys played by the rules and they did everything they're supposed to do and they just took advantage of this poorly worded or poorly organized promotion and everything they did is legal, should they get the miles? On the other hand, is it morally right for them to expect, you know, and these are people who, you know, some of whom are taken advantage of by the airlines on a regular basis, so they're figuring it's a chance to get even. What do you guys think?
Clayton?
Well, I will say, as you both know, I'm a very religious person, so morality is very important to me. But I don't think getting miles is a moral issue, and this was not a misprint. These are people who read the rules, play by the rules, and perhaps the intent of the airline or this whoever the catalog was, perhaps this was not their intent. But is it a moral issue? I think absolutely not. And I think the people absolutely deserve the miles that they earned.
I agree with Clayton. I don't think it has anything to do with morality. They took a look at what the program was. They were smart enough to figure out how to work it to their advantage, just in the reverse of buyer beware. In this particular case, it's, you know, it's marketing people beware. And they now they're going to go back and they're going to prevent this from happening in the future. But for those that figured it out, they deserve their mileage. They should get them.
Well, we're not talking
about.
They
got them square and fair.
We're not talking about 2 million miles here, guys. We're talking about 200. You realize how many airline tickets that is?
Yeah, but do you realize how much this lawsuit's probably costing them? It's a small price to pay.
It's filed in Superior Court in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and this is the writer of this article says, it's pretty clear that some company made a stupid decision and will be held to account for it. What remains to be seen is which of the companies named in the suit, the airlines, the marketing company, the web shopping mall, will be deemed the dumb ones, and how many frequent flyers miles they will be required
to
award.
it was only 26 people, okay? So it's going to be 26 seats gobbling up 200 million miles, which they probably will never be able to use. So I think the airlines will probably survive it.
I think it's a classic example. I'm sure there's a compromise down the road there. We'll try to keep you posted. Hey, listen, a few weeks ago, some of you know that Andy Williams, who was a longtime television star and stage performer, had a show in Branson for the last 24 years, passed away. And from Branson, Missouri, comes word that the Christmas show at the Andy Williams Theater will go on this year with a tribute to Mr. Christmas. It says that Andy Williams was involved in all phases of his Christmas show in Branson this year, including production, picking the music, selection of the acts. So the fact that he is not there to sing does not mean that the show will not go on. So if you were going to Branson to see the Andy Williams Christmas show, which runs until December the 12th, you can go and hear all of the music and videos and things from Andy Williams, who probably is the man, arguably, who made the city of Branson.
Very good. And I have a feeling that a lot of people will be going in with the possibility that this might be the last opportunity.
The last opportunity to pay tribute to a man who, the Moon River Man, so to speak. Kayak has been acquired by Priceline for over $1 billion. That is really an incredible number when you think about it. But Priceline has been a very successful travel company. Kayak, for the benefit of our listeners, for those of you who have never tried it, go to kayak.com, K-A-Y-A-K. It is probably the best site for comparing airfares, finding out who flies where, when they fly, what the price is, car rentals, all of those things. But Kayak will now be a part of Priceline. And finally, in the travel news, New York City announces that they are expected to be open for business over the holidays, despite being walloped by the 1-2 punch of Superstorm Sandy and an early season nor'easter a week later. New York City is expected to be fully operational for the holiday travel rush. Just this past week, the 9/11 Memorial reopened. Radio City Music Hall's Christmas show started on Friday on schedule, and most of the city is back up and running. There are still some traffic issues. So folks are, if you're going to New York City, you are really, really urged, and I would tell you this under normal circumstances, to depend on public transportation as opposed to renting a car and trying to get around. Those folks in New York City are the most durable people on the planet. I swear, nothing knocks them down for very long. And we'll throw in the folks in New Jersey, too. So that is the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark and Clayton and Tom, thank you for joining us. Are we going to do mailbag next?
We are. Coming up right after the break, we will be back with questions from the mailbag.
One of my favorite segments right here on KFBK. Coming up. Don't go away. Hello, my friends. Welcome. We are the Travel Guys. Segment 2. It's mailbag time. Thank you for staying with us. Mark, we got a lot of really good stuff from
the
mailbag.
We do. And folks, just to remind you that you can go to travelguysradio.com, which is where you can find links to anything we talk about on the program today, to some of those frequent flyer websites that we're always talking about, other things that will just help you in your travels. Also, that you can submit a question there. If we read your question on the air, we'll send you a $25 gift certificate. It's as simple as that.
Let's go ahead and pick up a question that we didn't get to last week, and this one has to do with, with timeshares and condos. And the question from Tom in Fair Oaks goes like this. My husband and I are considering purchasing a condo unit, and they heard that both you and I speak that we both are involved in some sort of timeshares or condos. They wanted to know which is it, up or down on timeshares and condos? Mark, you go first.
Well, one thing, as we've espoused on this program before, when I bought one, I bought the very cheapest one I could simply to get access to the low cash rates that are offered to owners at other properties other than the one that you have your timeshare at. So that allowed me to get in on the very, very lowest level. However, I will tell you something from having gone and stayed at my property recently for a few days. It was a very, very nice experience, except for one thing. Just do not think that just because you have bought the condo that they are done selling to you. Because they are going to sell to you every moment of every day. They called at 9 o'clock in the morning. When I ignored them for a couple of days, they left messages on my phone constantly. I finally told them, you know, this is bordering on harassment, and I really want you to stop. Because my word to people with condo things is don't buy them from the condo company. Buy them on the secondary market. I really think that is the best way to go.
I have to agree particularly with what Mark said last, and that is there are so many people that have timeshares and condos and such that they would like to get rid of. First of all, you have maintenance fees that range anywhere from $500 to $800 a year.
Yeah, the price you pay initially is not the final price.
No.
It's just like any other piece of property.
Exactly. And so if you're looking for one, look aftermarket. And number two, don't buy it unless you're going to use it. And by the way, my daughter stayed at our properties in Florida for her honeymoon, and they were got the phone calls, got the harassment. And here again, they were guests.
Right.
But the entire time they were there, they were trying to sell them up, more advantages, buy another, and so forth.
Let us tell you about our upgrades. We have a free gift for you. Come down and buy your tickets to SeaWorld, blah, 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 blah.
Ryan in Roseville wants to know. He says, I see a credit card heavily advertised by an airline, and one of these benefits that they talk about are passes to airlines' private clubs. He says he travels quite a bit, and I don't remember seeing many of these. Are they in every airport? Are these free club passes really a good deal? Mark?
I think he's talking about one of the United cards that offers two club passes when you sign up for the card. That's not two club passes anytime you want to go. That's two individual one-day passes to use the club. Clayton, you're a huge fan of airline. At least you used to be of airline.
Well, I've woven in and out of that. The reality is the average connection is about an hour. You probably have 20 to 30 minutes of walking time. You've got to go to the bathroom. So how much is that one free drink that you're going to guzzle down really, really worth? One-day passes at most of the clubs, I think, are between $25 and $50. A membership, at least with United, I believe, is now at $3.99 or $4.99.
Like,
so it's a good piece of change. When you have a delayed flight or maybe international connections, that's when it's obviously nice to get off the concourse and get into that lounge and enjoy the drink and the clean restrooms and other amenities that they offer, free Wi-Fi being one in most of them. But for the average traveler on the average trip, at least domestic trip, I don't think it's a very good deal. I mean, if somebody handed me two passes, I would keep them for that time when I needed them, but I certainly wouldn't do anything special or pay an inflated credit card yearly fee just for the sake of a couple passes to a club.
The other thing to keep in mind, if whether you have a pass or whether you have a year's membership, is that at the time when you want to use the club the most, when you know the airport is suffering serious delays and stuff and you want a place to escape, guess what? Everybody else who has a membership or a pass is going to be thinking the exact same thing. I have, frankly have found, just find a gate area that's not too busy and an electric plug and just settle in, and you know, I can put on my headphones and go off to never, I can be just as happy as I can be in a club. So my wisdom to this gentleman is the airline clubs, they are not in every airport. You can only go to the club that is for your specific airline generally, unless you belong to a specific group that allows you to change clubs. So as Clayton said, put a value on it of maybe $25 a piece.
Roman from Sacramento with our next question for the Travel Guys mailbag, and he writes, I booked a ticket with Delta Airlines. 2 days later, I noticed made a mistake on my return flight. Called Delta and asked to change it, and they wanted $150 plus an $8 fare increase. Is that legal to charge $158 for correcting a simple mistake? I wasn't changing destinations, just moved from 7 a.m. flight to 7 p.m. And any help that you can provide would be appreciated.
Well, yes, it's legal. Unfortunately, Roman, something the airlines don't tell you is that for until midnight of the day following the day you buy the ticket, no matter what they tell you on the website or don't tell you, you can make any change, including canceling the ticket, for free. You have a 24-hour grace period, which extends to midnight of the day following your purchase. So if Roman had caught this, he says he caught it 2 days later. If he'd have caught it 1 day later, he could have called Delta, and if they wouldn't have corrected it for him, he could have just canceled the ticket and bought a new one. He might have paid $8 more for it, but he wouldn't have paid the $150 change fee. Is it legal? Yes. Depending on your, this is where status comes in. If you were a very frequent flyer with the airline and you called up, you were nice, you got the right person, they might waive the charge for you. If they weren't a nice person or you weren't a nice person, then they probably are not going to.
All right. And don't forget, if you don't get the answer you want, Mark always tells us, hang up, call back, and always be nice. B from Lodi writes, and I think a lot of people are going to be interested in this, and this has to do with that $10 extra to move up in line. She wants to know, Southwest Airlines, of course, has the $10 each way to move up in line. Does it really get you that much closer into the front of the line? I haven't had a lot of success. It seems everyone has a reason to be the first boarding group these days. Your thoughts?
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought if you paid the $10, that guaranteed you one of the first 15 spots to board.
No, that's the first 15 on Southwest are reserved for people who pay full fare, which is a business class fare. Then behind that, you have the people who are A-list flyers. That means they've flown 25 times with Southwest in that calendar year or the previous calendar year. So they're all automatically assigned a number. I used to have that status and don't anymore, and sure do wish I did. Also means you can use those special lines at the airport and like. And then the people who pay the $10 come in. So, Tom, you said that, you know, you'd gotten A46 one time.
Right. Oftentimes.
Not uncommon.
Yeah, we will buy, a web fare. And then to make sure that we get to sit together, we'll pay the extra 10 each way. And it's true. Oftentimes, you end up in the 40s.
Yeah.
And somebody that's just quick at the draw, right at that time when you can check in, and you check in instantly on your smartphone or whatever, you don't do a whole lot better by paying the $10.
But the best thing about the $10 each way, and one reason I would say it's worth it to me, is I always, you have to remember exactly the 24 hours.
Yes.
And if you don't, then you're going to get a lousy number. So it's, to me, for a long distance flight that's more than an hour, I pay the $10. It's just peace of mind with me. And that wraps up the mailbag section.
All right. On the backside, after Aaron takes care of the news, more of the Travel Guys, we'll have a little roundtable discussion. And also we have our interview in regards to, the railroad that goes from Sacramento up through Donner Pass, and some highlights about sightseeing in that area. All coming up next, right here on the Travel Guys on KFBK. You're in touch with the Travel Guys here on KFBK Radio. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Clayton Whitehead also from, used to be Sports Leisure Travel, I remember those days. Sports Leisure Vacations as well.
You're showing your age, Tom. We changed our name over a dozen years ago.
Well, it's amazing to have both of you guys in the room at the same time and not on the road. I'm Tom Romano, and such a pleasure to have been and be a part of the Travel Guys for, well, gosh, almost 3 years now.
Almost going on 3 years. Hey, Thomas, I just before we went on the air, I looked in my email box and
yes.
found an update from our good friend Henry Bernanke.
Oh, well, you know what that means. That means that Henry is probably at some destination that hardly anybody ever goes
to. So where has
to.
His Virgin plane taken him this time?
Well, for those who don't know, if you've just stumbled onto the Travel Guys, Henry Bernanke is a pilot for Virgin America Airways, and Henry comes on the program on a real regular basis and oftentimes will spend an entire hour with us sharing everything from what it's like to be an airline pilot but all the things that happen in our industry. One of Henry's favorite things to do is what he calls jump seating, is just take off and go anywhere. And so, Clayton, in answer to your question of where in the world is Henry, here is what his email says. Gentlemen, how are you both doing? I trust all is well. I decided to hit the road after my last appearance on the Travel Guys and found myself in Peru and then on to Machu Picchu. It has been wonderful. We'll send emails with photos if you would like to see some. Travel safely, your friend Henry. So there you go.
Well, keep in mind, Henry didn't really become a pilot to necessarily fly airplanes. He basically did it so that he could be a jump seat traveler, pretty much.
Right on. He's just like our million mile friends.
Well,
he just wants to travel.
He really is. I mean, we talk about this a lot, and really, it's not. You know, collecting in the old days, people collected Betty Crocker box tops, you know, or blue chip stamps.
Some people still do.
It's absolutely.
I don't want to talk about the blue chip stamps. I got a bag of them. I still, of course, the stores have closed. I used to bowl for blue chip stamps. No, honest to God. Yeah, over at Country Club Lanes, they had a thing. It was called, I don't know.
I remember
Blue
that.
Chip Night or whatever, and you would go and they'd have to put the pins up, and if you got a strike with a certain colored head pin, you'd get a bunch of stamps. And I collected them all, and then one day I got ready to cash in my 300 books of stamps only to find that they have gone out of business. I'm holding on to them, though.
Did you ride your dinosaur to do that?
So anyways, Henry is doing what we all wish that we could do. I appreciate, and I look forward to getting his pictures. And when Henry sends us some pictures, as I'm sure he will in the next couple of days, we will post them at travelguysradio.com so that you all can look at them. And it's fun sometimes if you can't travel yourself. Why, sometimes it's fun to travel vicariously through someone else. I can't think of anybody better than Henry. Although, Tom, you said after the last time he was here, you know, I just hope we don't someday hear that, you know, something horrible has happened to Henry, because he tends to put himself in you know, situations that are not real predictable.
Right. We spend a lot of time telling people how to travel safely and give them advice. And then we listen to Henry, and basically he does all of the wrong things. But then again, Henry is a man, and he's well traveled, and he knows that he can show up at a destination without a hotel to stay, with nothing but a backpack, and talk to strangers, and be invited to stay in their homes and be okay.
And Henry is careful about, you know, Henry's not a guy who drinks a lot. Obviously, he's an airline pilot and stuff, so he has his wits about him generally, and he's generally in control of his environment, but still.
Well, there's nothing wrong with going out in a blaze of glory. I'm an actor at the Old City Cemetery here in Sacramento, and this Halloween season I was introduced to a new character. He's right there in our cemetery, and he died by being trampled by an elephant in India. But he was the son of a local family, and he was brought back home and put in our Old City Cemetery. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with going out in a blaze of glory. And they'll remember you for a long time.
So if Henry is trampled by an elephant, we'll think back to this.
The show has digressed.
Speaking of where Henry, it was nice of Henry to give us an update on where he is and where he's going. And this would probably be an appropriate time, Tom, for us to share a piece of important information with our listening audience. You know, the Travel Guys will be 3 years old coming up in February. And it is with some reluctance that we announce that the Travel Guys are going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to have some downtime. I am the volunteer leader of the National Tour Association next year, which is a job I did about 13 years ago, and it does take up a lot of one's time. And there's that company, Sports Leisure Vacations, to run. And despite having great folks like Clayton, it's good to have some time to spend at home, and this radio show is a lot of time and effort. So,
well, I have to say, folks, working with Mark for this nearly 3 years on this program, the amount of time that he puts in to prepare the show is quite large, and it's been amazing that Mark, you've been able to show up to do the program and bring it as you have for this long. And I know every year more and more obligations and things fall onto your plate.
And, well, you and I have known each other for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And have worked on. In fact, we've threatened to do this for a long time, and I hope we will have time next week to offer to our listeners. We thought in the last couple weeks of the program, the last broadcast will be on the 25th of November, that we would bring you some of our history with Sports Leisure Vacations and radio in Sacramento and things like that, and bring back some of our popular guests. Doing the radio program has been something I've really enjoyed doing, and I want to emphasize that we are not planning on going away permanently. We are planning on a year's hiatus, and hopefully sometime about this time next year we will pick the Travel Guys up. We intend to keep the website going and offering you the opportunity to be a smarter traveler on a regular basis by posting things. So if you've put the Travel Guys into your favorites, why, please continue to check and see what we have to offer.
And I want to point out, too, be listening to KFBK on a regular basis, particularly during the week, during the news blocks. And I just know that you'll be hearing Mark from time to time, and maybe even more regular than that, with some travel update information, since Mark's head is just full of all this travel stuff. By the way, I have to point out that on our last show, the 25th, since, you know, as those that listen to the show regularly know that Mark is the traveler, Tom knows the traveler, and I will actually be in San Antonio traveling there, so I will be doing my portion of the program on the road.
For the one and only time. How appropriate to have you on the road. So yes, the Travel Guys are going to go away. I really truly do not know what will take this slot in the afternoon, but I'm sure they will have something interesting and entertaining. Hopefully not as interesting and entertaining as what used to be there, but that will be for the listeners to judge.
Yeah, I can judge already, and I would say no, it will not. But what can I tell you?
Maybe it'll be a show about buying timeshares. What do you think?
That would be incredibly appropriate. So anyways, the news from the Travel Guys is that the last broadcast for this cycle will be on the 25th of November. We'll take a little bit of a sabbatical hiatus, and then we will be back, hopefully, on this very radio station 11 or 12 months from now. And along the way, we will have updates. Who knows where you might find the Travel Guys? Of course, Sports Leisure Vacations will remain a supporter of community projects like public television and some of those other things. So we're not going anywhere as a company. We're just a little bit too busy to do a radio show every week.
Tom, if I may, Mark's being very modest. He said he was about to take the volunteer leadership role with the National Tour Association. NTA is the leading trade organization for our segment of the industry worldwide. And Mark is not just going to be a leader. He's going to be the CEO and the chairman of the board. And in our organization's 60-year history, he will be the first two-time leader in that role, returning to the chair he had back in 2000. So, happy trails to you, my friend. Good luck, and remember your way back home occasionally.
Well, there will be a lot of frequent flyer miles, but there will also be the opportunity to meet a lot of wonderful people and stuff along the way. So we will be building our radio library for the return of the Travel Guys all along the way. And, of course, Thomas, you won't be leaving the radio because you are on every Monday through Friday.
I am on Classic 93.1, and, by the way, we will be swinging into
Christmas music
into the
holidays.
Don't
you guys play Christmas music for about 11 months or
something like that? We're actually thinking about year round.
all Christmas music all the time. All right, well, that's the update from the Travel Guys. What do we have next, Tom?
All right, coming up, we're going to hit the rails with a great interview, a fellow that made a little documentary on the railroad that goes between Sacramento and Donner Pass. It's entitled The Hidden World The hidden wonders, one of the hidden wonders of the world.
And you did this interview earlier this week, and I had opportunity to listen to it. And so, folks, really and truly, if you like history and old roads and old railroads and stuff like that, a real piece of history is coming up next. We are the Travel Guys. This is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. It is the Travel Guys on KFBK. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. And again, we brought back into the Travel Guys studio Mr. Steve LaRosa. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be back.
Well, Stephen has brought a guest into the studio, a gentleman that I've had an opportunity to meet with and do a radio commercial some months ago, who's put together a very, very intriguing film. Steve, why don't you introduce Bill to us?
Right. This is my old buddy, Bill George. We worked together at KCRA-TV many years ago, and Bill, a filmmaker in his own right, has put together I'm holding in my hands.
Yes.
A DVD of the hidden wonder of the world, the Transcontinental Railroad from Sacramento to Donner Summit. And Bill has put together this documentary that's played on PBS, among other places. And he's presented it to many historical societies around Northern California, and people love it. And I actually went on a trip with him and visited some of these sites between here and Reno. And it's pretty fascinating. And it's all about the public having easy access to these maybe not so well-known historical sites that are still there.
Well, that's right, Stephen. I got really interested in this. I read a book about the Transcontinental Railroad, and it likened the old railroad from Sacramento to Donner Summit to the wonders of the world, like the Great Wall of China and the pyramids of Egypt. And I thought, people go from all over the world to tour those sites, but nobody really comes here. So I started to investigate it and found out that indeed people do come from all over the world, but they know certain folks here in the Sacramento area who are able to take them to these hidden sites that aren't too far off the beaten path, but you got to know where they are to get to them and see them. So you have these old trestles, tunnels. This was one of the great engineering feats of all time, was built right here in our backyard. And by the way, by people from Sacramento. The money was raised here for the railroad. The people that built it, many of them Chinese, were from Sacramento who built it. So I thought, oh, this is kind of odd. I mean, why isn't this celebrated more? Obviously, people go to the Railroad Museum from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And that's a great place, the Railroad Museum. The folks, the curator there, worked with me on the project. Wonderful. But if you walk right outside the door of this Railroad Museum, you can continue your trek to discover these sites. There's a statue of Theodore Judah, which is kind of hidden in old Sacramento. He was the guy who actually created this, and there's this huge bust of him in old Sacramento. It's next to the subway, kind of hidden. If you go into the train terminal down to the Amtrak station today, there's a beautiful mural, color, painted by an artist, of the laying of the first tracks of the railroad right here in Sacramento, totally overlooked. Again, if you know the old railroad buildings, the ones at the Central Pacific built in the 1860s, which are where the new whatever arena was going to go or whatever the heck they're going to do with it now, those shops are there today. But if you don't know where they are, you don't start to look at them, you will just walk right by them. So that was my job, was to put it together.
Bill George, creator of the Hidden World,
the hidden wonder
of the world, the Transcontinental Railroad from Sacramento to Donner Summit. Now, Steve and Bill, you guys indicated that you took a portion of this journey. Kind of walk our listeners through that little adventure.
Well, Bill, you can elaborate a little better than I on. We went up to the tunnels up by Donner Pass, correct?
Yeah, the summit tunnels, they're called.
Now, when you say you went up to the tunnels, how did you do that?
Okay, Bill, we drove to a certain area where they have a parking lot, and what tell people how to get there.
Well, it's right above Donner Lake, and if you get on the old Lincoln Highway there, there's a little loop that comes off of 80. And you go there, you can park there, and then the tunnels are right there, and it's a really easy, you'll see people rock climbing vertically and go, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But there's a real easy way just to walk up to those tunnels and go see them. And now you're walking through tunnels that were blasted by Chinese workers using hand tools and gunpowder. And you can walk right through there and see the chisel marks. It's like being, as a history buff, being in a cathedral. And it's a cathedral of engineering, and it's just amazing. I think Steve will agree to see it.
Oh, absolutely. And some of the things Bill taught me on this little tour, Yeah, you should try and get your own private tour from the guy himself. But some of the things he taught me, like, they would blast out solid granite wall a foot at a time per blast, right?
Right, and just clear the rubble
and
out.
And these tunnels were what? In some cases, a couple hundred yards long?
Oh, 1,500 feet long, the summit tunnel is.
1,500 feet?
Yeah, and they met, they engineered it, and they met, they actually worked from two different ends of the tunnel, and they were 1 inch off when they joined, when the tunnel walls were built.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and the other, tell them about the place up by Lincoln and Loomis, the cut there.
Oh, Bloomer Cut you're talking about. And that, some of these places, by the way, at their time, I have a map from about 1907, and it's a map of California tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. And there's a place called Cape Horn, which is where they put the railroad around a cape near Colfax. And that, on that map, that Cape Horn is bigger than Yosemite. That's the type of tourist attraction that it was in the day. Bloomer Cut was one of those too. Internationally famous, and it's near Auburn, right outside of Auburn. And basically what they did was they went in through and they blasted through a ridge. And it's like a tunnel without a top. It's vertical. Both sides were excavated. They went in and took all that rock out. And again, when you're walking through it, it's just amazing. It's still used today.
How do people get there, Bill?
Well, you have to go up to Auburn, and it's off of a Hurdle Drive. If they go on my website and email me, I'll send them information. And that leads me to one other thing, which is my film is a film. I don't really have directions in the film, but I just got talked to a publisher of the History Press, and I found out yesterday they're going to publish a book that has the stories behind this and a step-by-step guide that should be coming out in April.
This is just awesome. Again, the hidden wonder of the world, the Transcontinental Railroad from Sacramento to Donner Summit. Bill, where can people get a copy of this this video?
If they go to my website, it's really easy to find, transcoshow.com.
That's let me help you out here, transcoshow.com.
Or just Google Hidden Wonder of the World and they'll find it.
And we will link that information to travelguysradio.com so that if you didn't, you know, you're driving around and you weren't able to write that down, just remember travelguysradio.com and we'll connect you there. Bill, what's your next project?
Well, my next project is getting the book done, so I'll be working with the old photos and everything. And then I hope to make, I would like to do a similar thing on the Gold Rush, tracing that, and also the wagon trails of the West that came through Sacramento. There are two or three of them that are very historic, and it's just great to walk along and realize what the pioneers who founded Sacramento went through to get here.
Very cool. Steve, thanks for bringing in your buddy Bill George.
Thank you, Tom.
Again, finding things where no one else could find them. You're kind of like that guy. What's the phrase? You're the
person. Boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's one of them. And or friends who have no friends.
But he always finds lunch along the way.
There you go. Once again, thank you, Mr. Steve LaRosa and guests. That was a very interesting segment, and I'm looking forward to checking out all of those little hidden places up there at Donner Summit.
Can I just say, now that we've told folks that there will only be two more editions in this lifespan of the Travel Guys, I really want to thank Steve. He has become a recent contributor to the Travel Guys. Steve knows all this stuff about around Sacramento and has been a really valuable contributor to the program. So I really hope that when we get a year down the road and I'm done doing my National Tour Association thing and our program resumes, that we will be able to make Steve a part of the program, because he really knows some interesting stuff. I suspect Steve and I could take a road trip together sometime.
You could. And the interesting thing about Steve was a regular listener for the Travel Guys for quite some time, even though we've been friends for as long as you and I have. And one day, you know, we got to talk. He says, you know, I love that Travel Guys show. I may have some things that you could find interesting.
And a great
so
piece.
Modest. Yeah. And then he brings us all sorts of great nuggets.
Great piece of on railroad history.
And speaking of rail travel, and to kind of bring it into the 21st century, I came to Sacramento 19 years ago, and then they were discussing a high-speed rail between the Bay Area and L.A. I just read that land acquisitions will begin in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
so maybe before we die, we can ride to L.A. on a fast train.
There has been a lot of activity on that front, and the first leg is going to be Madera to Fresno, I believe, is what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's the rub with the high-speed rail is that the early stages and everybody, why there, you know?
Well, who doesn't want to go to Madeira?
Well, because it's flat and the land is easy to acquire and they're trying to get a running start, I think. And argue all day, that's another subject for another program, of whether or not you should have high-speed rail. But from a tour operator standpoint, I think it will be, once the first leg gets open, everybody will want to ride it. So
I have felt that high-speed rail and flying cars are something that were way past due. Question to the two of you who have traveled the world. Have you ever had a chance to ride a high-speed rail from another country?
I have in France and Spain, and it's amazing.
What's that like?
It's fast. I mean, truly, it is so fast. And, I mean, you see the scenery passed by you fast, but the way the cars are constructed, the cabins hang from a carriage. Think like a baby cradle. The cabins hang from a carriage that is above you, so they're very, very smooth. It's not like U.S. rails where the cabin sits on wheels and you feel all the road noise and the clickety-clack of the rails. It's very comfortable, and it's as fast as a plane, but you don't have to mess with going to an airport and taking your shoes off. You can show up at a train station 15 minutes early, step on board, and you're out of there.
Yeah, that may change.
I rode the Acela once. Does that count? Probably not. Okay.
Hey, I thought the monorail in Disneyland.
All right. Well, to recap, if you weren't listening earlier, the Travel Guys have a couple more programs, and then we are going to go on sabbatical for a little while. So you will not want to miss the program the next two Sundays, because Tom and I will be here with some special guests and do some fun things. We are going to empty out the prize closet. So that means that for all of you contest freaks out there, why you will want to be listening to the Travel Guys the next two weekends. You have absolutely no idea what you might win. One night in Bulgaria.
What?
I
don't know.
I was talked about cleaning out the closet.
Well, if you know anything about radio programs that are on their last few shows, they just get interesting and more interesting. I guarantee it.
They absolutely do. All right. We are the Travel Guys. Remember, an hour a week is all we ask. Remember to listen to Tom in the afternoons.
Classic 93.1, 3 to 7.
All right. We'll see you next Sunday at 2 o'clock.